means people who are interested in, they're not worldly people, Hare Krishna. They're interested in spiritual development. In Islam, the Sufis, they're the most famous. In Judaism and Christianity, there are all kinds of mystic, different mystic strands. Some of the most famous are Saint John of the Cross, Saint John of Avalon, Saint Teresa of Avalon. They're like, they do fasting and they're praying and they're trying to, their idea is to understand or to come close to God. They're very spiritual. Although ultimately they're all impersonalists, actually. Even though they pray to Jesus. In Christian tradition, it used to be that some very people who were always meditating on Jesus, they would get the stigmata. You know that word, stigmata? Every Catholic knows that word.
Yeah.
It means that they get marks on their hands and feet, like the nails of where Jesus was nailed on the cross. So these are like the mystic traditions. So there's like they're very spiritual, but actually they all miss the point anyway, because they're all ultimately impersonal. But I just made a short comment about that, but I mean that could be the subject of dozens of books. Maybe you need to footnote that, or you could blend. I don't know if you can even remember, of course it's being recorded, but maybe that could be, you see, when something which is spoken is made into a book, you also have the option of changing it as much as you like. So then, instead of that short comment, that could be elaborated on. And it could be said that there are various mystical and spiritual traditions that transcend. Well, it sounds like the time
is stopped
at this time.
No, it's okay. Just
leave it. You can get some air.
I'll probably keep it open some air.
Oh, again. It's just my fate. I must be normal. So you can say in every mainstream religion there are mystic and spiritual strands. Maybe not very much in Protestant Christianity. They're very dry, aren't they?
I think they all try to be kind of more. In a way, they are like directing themselves, connecting themselves to.
They have their direct relationship with Jesus. No need of any pope.
Yeah, so this way, it becomes sometimes over.
Well, they have. Actually, the Protestants. They have. It's a very big movement all over the world. Charismatic movement.
Yes.
In which they just, you know, they become crazy.
They speak tongues.
They become crazy, or they have direct communication with ghosts, actually.
Now they also introduce.
They think it's Jesus.
Quite a lot of singing. And they, in this way, they, it's like kirtan almost. They sing more now in Protestant.
Well, there are different traditions, aren't they? The Quakers, they're also. Quaker Church in America.
We don't have them in Poland.
It's big in America. It started in England, in which they quake, they shiver. So yeah, it's also, you could say, a mystic strand. So like that, they're you could say apart from conventional religionism, they're also more spiritual branches. That was just in that few words. That's what I was. I think anyone who knows a little bit about the history of religion, they'll know what we're talking about. You see, in India or in Hinduism or in Buddhism, the mystic and the ordinary is all mixed. I suppose it is in every religion, but more so in Hinduism, because it's a very complex subject. Because in Hinduism or Buddhism, there's no fixed church as such. Or there's no fixed way, or there's no fixed goal. Here in Tamil Nadu, at Thai Pusam, they have the Kavari, you know this, and they pierce their mouths and tongue with it, and they put hooks in their back. They have a similar thing in the Iranians. What's that? That would be Shia Islam.
Sufi?
No, they're not Sufis. They whip themselves. They castigate on Muharram. That's in Christianity. There's a tradition of doing all kinds of weird things like that. Nowadays they don't do it. It's self-torture. There's a word for that. Self-castigation. So I don't. This is actually Tamasic religion. Anyway, maybe you can just make a short note and maybe just leave it as it is, and then people who understand will understand it. Those who don't, well, they can do some more reading if they want to know about the history of religion. The history of religion in the world is not very inspiring, actually. I just read a book on the history of Christianity. It's like the history of atrocities and killing. It's just killing. From almost the beginning, they started killing heretics, and then they started killing Muslims, and then the Protestants and Catholics were killing each other, and then they were killing witches. It's just a history. The history of Christianity is just one of the killing. That's it. Anyone who reads it, I don't know how they could. It's written by a Christian. He finishes up the book saying that Jesus is the life and the truth and the way. I don't find anything in it inspiring to make you want to be a Christian. And then, there's the Inquisition, which was done by, it was under the auspices of Dominican monks and priests. And on behalf of the Pope of the Vatican. Torturing and killing. That was my religious education. That's what I learned about. I was in a Catholic school in England, and we mostly learned about how the Protestants had tortured and killed the Catholics. They didn't teach us how the Catholics tortured and killed the Protestants. So it was a good preparation for me to stop being a Christian. So I don't know, does that help at all?
It does.
Right. You could say in the mystic and tradition, apart from the conventional day-to-day stereotype religious practices, they're also spiritual, mystical. In English, mystical is a word. I don't think there is a word in Sanskrit for mystical.
What about the Gnostics? They are like, the Gnosis means knowledge, so it's like related to Vedas. In a sense that
maybe, but that refers to an early Christian sect that was eventually considered heretical.
Yeah, by the church.
By the church, they wiped out so many.
So they were actually vegetarian, they were believers of reincarnation also, and they were following non-intoxication, non-meat eating like this.
Yeah, well, they were.
There's still not. One school.
Where?
There's Rosicrucianus.
Rosicrucians.
Yeah, Rosicrucians. Yeah, they claim to be Gnostics and the followers of the original Christianity.
But they have a different doctrine also, that Jesus is not actually God. They follow that?
Yeah,
or the Trinity, they don't follow that?
No.
The Trinity is a doctrine accepted by Catholics and Protestants. And maybe Orthodox also, I'm not sure. But there's nothing in the Bible about it.
Yes.
No, actually Protestants, they don't accept it. That's one of the things they don't accept. There's nothing in the Bible about Trinity. For that matter, they say there's nothing about a Pope. But for that matter, if they really want to follow the Bible, there's nothing in the Bible about any church either. And, well, it's upon this
rock I fell with this.
And then another thing, there's nothing about a Bible either. The Bible's also came up after Jesus. I mean the New Testament. So anyway, it's just a bunch of speculation. The whole Christianity is just based on the principle that Jesus is God and He died for us. It's practically atheism. God came and died. God died for 3 days. And then, you know, because their theology is practically zero, they invented purgatory, limbo, and all these things. They had to invent something. Anyway. Christianity is for people who want to believe blindly. That's why you can't preach to them, actually. Because they're committed to blind faith. They say, it's in the Bible. You have to believe the Bible. You say, well, why? That was my question when I was about 12 years old. Why? Well, why only the Bible? The Muslims have their Quran and the Hindus have their book. Why? They're all talking about God. Why should we only believe the Bible? And Muslims say the same. You have to follow the Quran. Why? Why? Why only? They start off with the axiom that you should have blind faith in the Quran or the Bible. Why? You say believe in God, but they don't give us any information except that He throws you into hell forever and burns you forever if you don't believe in God. Let's go. Who wants to have anything to do with a God like that? Anyway, there may be many intelligent people who are Christians, and Muslims maybe also, but when it comes to religion, they turn off their intelligence. Yeah, of course it's unintelligent not to believe in God, but to just accept that God as described or practically not described in the Bible or the Quran without wanting to go any further, and to accept this idea that the soul is created, God creates souls, and then most of them go to hell forever without any hope of redemption. It's not very intelligent. In Hinduism also, there are many people who are intelligent materially, but spiritually, or they're just completely stupid. I saw on TV years ago, they were interviewing some scientists at Sriharikota, India's best scientists, and they believe that Sai Baba is God. They're very intelligent materially, and religiously, stupid, completely, absolutely stupid.
Ritvik person, Sachin Tendulkar, all these followers of stuff.
Ritvikism, it's radical, you know, it's just such a radical departure from the whole tradition. So, anyway, there you go. That one word, mystical, threw out, because there is no term. I don't. Maybe tantrism. That's also mysticism, but that's low class. There's higher class mysticism. I guess you could talk about levels of spiritual experience. Just, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks of himself. He sees himself as a young girl in Vrindavan. Narottam Das also. They all say. And they're giving up this present identity. They identify themselves as a gopi. Yeah, in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, that's there. That one perceives oneself as a gopi in Vrindavan, what their age is, what color, what their name is, what color their dress is, what their service is. So I guess you could call that a mystic tradition. Mysticism, I guess you could, it's a broad term, it means experienced communion with powers or levels of reality beyond that which is ordinarily perceived. It's a very broad term. It includes, from the lowest level, magic, like tantrism, and I guess, yeah, it goes up to the highest level of Vraja Bhakti, experienced by sadhaks in the world, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, from the external to external perspective, he was a government official, a very kind of, what you would call a very straight kind of person. But internally, he was cultivating, or he was experiencing the consciousness of being a young gopi assistant of Srimati Radharani. So yeah, at the highest level, it means the inner life. Experience of the inner life and the highest. And our Vaishnava tradition is full of that. It's like in the Catholic faith, they have stigmata. So we have Shamananda, who has Radharani puts his teeth, puts the new tilak on him, and he finds her ankle bell. Well, that came first. Madhavendra Puri, in a dream, is instructed by Gopal, the deity, to bring me Chandan from Puri. I was just speaking about this the other day in Tirupati, that dreams and visions, so that's, you can say, mystical. But in what we call Hinduism, I don't think there's any term that parallels that of mysticism, because it's so much part of the fabric. It's part of the everyday life. And saints, generally in the Hindu tradition, saints means they should have some mystic power or some mystic realization. That's like almost expected to be the minimum qualification. It's generally expected to be like that. Although there is also a whole tradition in Hinduism, an important part of the tradition which is non-mystical. You could say it's like almost like the Protestantism of Hinduism. It's the smarter tradition. But that's also very much connected with Shaivism, which again has its mysticism. It's a very complex subject. There are layers and layers of traditions, and it's very complex.
I'm trying to
be It's one small word with a, you know, a lot of meaning. Mystic traditions. What's the time?
12 o'clock.